Laudato Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Monday, December the 16th, Pope Francis urges bankers to invest in hope, not in speculation. Thousands are missing and feared dead in the Indian Ocean Mayotte archipelago following the most powerful cyclone in a century. And the Hamas-run health ministry in Gaza says the number of Palestinians killed in the enclave by Israeli strikes has surpassed 45,000. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. Pope Francis has again warned against financial speculation that prioritizes profit over people, resulting in exploitation, social injustices and poverty. When finance tramples on people and fuels inequalities, it betrays its purpose, he said. His remarks came as he addressed delegations of some Italian banking institutes whom he received in audience on Monday morning. Lisa Zingarini reports.
In his address, Pope Francis reflected on the ethical responsibilities of finance and its impact on society, emphasizing its potential for fostering inclusion and sustainability. Drawing on historical examples, he highlighted how the Church has long contributed to socially conscious banking initiatives such as the cooperative credit systems in the 19th century. The intent of these initiatives, he noted, has always been to give opportunities to those who otherwise would have none, showing that finance can help social well-being.
Purtroppo nel mondo globalizzato la finanza non ha più un volto.
Pope Francis opposed these ethical financial practices to some banking practices of our time, which instead prioritize profit over people's needs, fostering what he described as an uncivilized economic behavior.
Quando la finanza calpesta le persone, diventa una economia incivile.
He cited multinational companies relocating to exploit cheaper labor, usurious practices, and some financial systems collecting funds in one place to invest them elsewhere with the sole aim of increasing their gains. Pope Francis praised the Italian institutions present for embodying a more humane approach to banking. Describing finance as the economy's circulatory system, he insisted that without adequate financial systems capable of inclusion and promoting sustainability, integral human development would not be possible. Hence the need for banks to avoid speculative and destructive investments such as those that harm the environment and promote wars. Looking ahead to the Jubilee, Pope Francis reiterated his plea for debt forgiveness, which he said is the condition for generating hope in the lives of many people, especially the poor. He concluded by reminding the audience that banks have great responsibilities to encourage an inclusive logic and to support an economy of peace. I am Lisa Zingarini.
Cyclone Kido has caused catastrophic destruction in Mayotte, with officials warning the death toll could reach several hundred or thousands. The cyclone, with winds exceeding 220 kilometres per hour, struck the French Indian Ocean territory last Saturday, making it the worst storm to hit Mayotte since the 1930s. Francesca Merlo reports.
Mayotte's interior minister has warned that it will take days and days to establish the human toll of Cyclone Chido. French authorities have deployed over 1,600 police officers and gendarmes to assist survivors, and additionally 250 rescuers and emergency personnel are being sent from mainland France and nearby Réunion. Mayotte, with a population of 300,000, is the European Union's poorest territory. A third of its people live in makeshift slums, many of which are now destroyed. Residents described entire districts flattened, uprooted trees and overturned boats. Key infrastructure, including the main airport, hospital and electricity and water supplies, have suffered severe damage. Relief efforts remain challenging, as only military aircraft can currently land. Prefect François-Xavier Bourville noted that undocumented migrants and Mayotte's tradition of burying the dead within 24 hours complicate casualty counts. Pope Francis, whilst visiting Corsica on Sunday, prayed for the victims and urged for international support. The cyclone also struck the Comoros Islands and Madagascar before moving towards Mozambique, causing severe damage in Cabo Delgado province. UNICEF reported widespread destruction, leaving 2 million people in urgent need of aid. Though now weakening, Cyclone Chido continues to pose a threat, with Malawi and Zimbabwe bracing for flooding and potential evacuations. Mayotte remains in desperate need of assistance as rescuers work to help survivors and assess the full scale of the disaster. I'm Francesca Merlo.
More than 50 people were killed in Israeli air and ground attacks across the Gaza Strip on Sunday, according to local medics and rescuers. They said children, a cameraman who worked for the Al Jazeera TV network, and personnel from the Civil Defense Agency were among the dead. The Israeli military said it targeted sites used by Hamas and the allied armed group Palestinian Islamic Jihad. The Hamas-run health ministry said the deaths meant the number of Palestinians killed in Gaza during the 14-month war between Israel and Hamas have now surpassed 45,000. The head of emergency communications for the World Food Programme, meanwhile, said a way must be found to get food in for desperate civilians to head off the risk of widespread famine. Speaking to UN News, Jonathan Dumont, who has just been in the enclave, described a total breakdown of society across the Gaza Strip amid a level of destruction that, he said, is absolutely staggering.
The devastation is absolutely staggering. It's a very small area of land surrounded by the sea on one side and totally closed off on the other, you know, three sides. So I haven't met anybody who hasn't been displaced at least two or three times. And they have to move either because there's a military activity going on. Almost everyone's lost their home in the south here where I am in this area. A lot of people are living in tents. And with the winter coming, you have rain and wind blowing them over, flooding them. Most kids don't have shoes. A lot of people have decided they have no choice but to go back to their homes, which are quite frequently literally rubble. I met a few families who were living in basically the cement blocks that had collapsed on themselves, and they had burrowed out the rubble and tried to create a living space under the fallen slabs of cement that were basically leaning on each other. There's no electricity or running water or sewage. Another family I met were living in, there was still like the shell of a four-story building, but it's built on sand and it really feels like it's going to slide over. So people are so desperate that they've run out of options and they just feel like they have to go. This is all they have, because living in a tent in the winter is really not an option. This is the second winter for many of them that they're homeless.
And that was Jonathan Dumont of the WFP speaking there to UN News. Thousands of Syrians have returned home following the fall of the Assad regime in December. Since then, the rebel group Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, or HTS, has taken control of the government and reopened schools and universities. In the wake of this change, Vatican Radio spoke to Father Vincent de Boucoudre, a Jesuit priest and director of the Jesuit Refugee Service in Syria, about the current situation. And as Kelsey Gussie reports, while there are still positives to the power shift, there is still an ongoing atmosphere of uncertainty in the country.
Uncertainty. This is what defines Syria today. That's what Father Vincent, head of JRS in Syria, says. The fact that in just 10 days, everything has changed in the country. After 24 years, the Assad regime has fallen, and now the Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, or HTS, rebels act as the interim governing body. Despite the group's historical ties to radical Islam, Abu Muhammad al-Jolani, the leader of the rebel group, claims he wants to build a plural Syria, where all communities will have their place. While 70% of the country is Sunni Muslim, Syria is also home to Greek Orthodox, Maronites, and Roman Catholics, among other religions. And with Christmas less than 10 days away, Father Vincent argues there is hope that Christians will be able to celebrate the holiday season peacefully, at least on the short term. He says the HTS rebel group has expressed their desire to build a new Syria with the help of Christians. And in Aleppo, this is already evident, as they have allowed Christmas decorations both in and outside of churches. But Father Vincent warns there is an ongoing sense of uncertainty and anxiety, as the country is not yet stable. He describes a new freedom of speech that people now have, where they can discuss topics that were previously off limits. But, he explains, there is still the challenge of finding out how to live all together with so many different religious views and lifestyles. And speaking of the thousands of Syrians making the journey home, Father Vincent laments that these refugees have been placed on the back burner. He criticizes the international community for encouraging the refugees to return to Syria without also investing in commercial and humanitarian aid in order to revive the country's industry and trade. Yet, no matter the situation, Father Vincent stresses that Christians are called to hope. He explains trust is necessary, the trust in the new leaders, despite the history and Islamic approach. And there's a need to place an emphasis on working together to make this plural Syria. I'm Kelsey Gussie.
Father Jens Petzold is head of the Monastery of Virgin Mary in Sulaymaniyya in northern eastern Iraq. The monastery is located in the autonomous Kurdistan region of the country, which in recent years has become something of a safe haven for Iraq's many minority religious groups. Speaking to Vatican Radio, Father Petzold described his arrival in Iraqi Kurdistan from Syria and how the monastery's mission of promoting interreligious harmony first began to take shape.
One problem is Iraq has a very clear defined borderlines between the society, much more than Syria. Syria, it's very common that students of different religions and different social levels will go together for a trip. I haven't seen that here. Part of it is, of course, the situation for a time that many places in Iraq was not really safe. In Kurdistan is a bit different, but this kind of mingling, social mingling, I didn't see here very much. So this was one problem we want to do with people. We want to be that people know each other. That's something which is Mamusa standing for, I think, bringing people somehow together. And so, bringing people together in a space which was long time defined as Christian, and so somebody else shouldn't enter so much. So how to do that? Something helped already when we came here. There have been the women putting candles in front of them of Virgin Mary, and most of them have been Muslim women. So there was something there which was already common, or a little bit of common ground. It was already something good. So I thought, it might work that people come here.
And that was Father Jens Petzold of the Monastery of the Virgin Mary in Sulaymaniyya in Iraqi Kurdistan, speaking there to Vatican Radio's Joseph Tullock. And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. You can join us tomorrow at the same time for more. And you can follow us on Vatican News, Facebook, X and Instagram. My thanks go to Gustavo Messina in studio in the Vatican. I'm Linda Bordoni. Bye-bye.